Welcome, everyone, to our all-church three-day fast. Every day, you're going to hear a short devotional, and coupled with that, there's going to be an action step, something practical that you can do to put this teaching into action. You know, our God loves to see his children united. In fact, in John chapter 17, verse 11, it says, "Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave to me, so that they may be one as we are one." See, God desires that we would be one. And so for the next 3 days, we will be one together as a church, moving in solidarity closer to Jesus. There will be times in the next 3 days where you'll want to give up, where things will become difficult, and when you are weary. And I want you to remember that there are brothers and sisters in Jesus that are fasting alongside you, including myself, cheering you on. So don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season, you will reap a harvest. Take a moment right now to think about the harvest you'll reap at the end of these 3 days. Remember why you're doing this. You do not live on bread alone, but you live on every word that comes from the mouth of God. God is going to use these next 3 days to transform your inner life and to uproot unhealthy appetites for the things of the world. And then he's going to take that appetite and reassign that hunger to him. So before we go into a quick teaching today, take a moment to press pause and tell him how hungry you are for him. If you look at a list of all the spiritual disciplines that the Bible teaches about, you'll find that it's a pretty robust list. Solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, chastity, sacrifice, study, worship, celebration, service, prayer, fellowship, confession, submission, and Sabbath. I mean, that's certainly not an exhaustive list, but it's a really good start. Let me ask you, what's your batting average this year? How many of those have you done? You know, most Christians are experts in none of these, good at maybe a few of these, and have never even considered most of these, especially that one on the list. Dallas Willard, he breaks down this list into two different categories: disciplines of engagement and disciplines of abstinence. Disciplines of engagement involve activity in something. Disciplines of abstinence involve setting aside certain things to make space for God. Each of these disciplines are formative in nature, meaning they are meant to facilitate an encounter with God and change at a spiritual level within us. We all want change at a spiritual level, and that's why you're reading this. That's why you're listening to this. You're listening to this because you want to know how to be different and how to be the person that God desires you to be. So let's look at how that happens. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8 says this: "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train," or the Greek word means to discipline, the Greek is gymnazo, "yourself for godliness." So train yourself for godliness. "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life, but also for the life to come." Take a look at the Greek word that Paul uses for train. It's the word gymnazo. It's where we get our word gymnasium. So what happens at Get Fit or Planet Fitness or In Shape is very closely related to what should be happening in our journey with God, hopefully with less sweating. When you go to the gym, you train. Dallas Willard says that spiritual disciplines help you do by indirect effort what you could not do by direct effort. Or in other words, I can't do 100 push-ups right now. Pastor Kyle can, but I can't. However, if you did 25 push-ups every day for the next 2 weeks, and 50 push-ups every day for 2 weeks in a row after that, and then 75 for the next 2 weeks after that, could I get to the place where I could do 100 push-ups? Most likely. And that's training. I can't do it now, but if I train, I could get there. And this is the nature of your journey with God. If you implement the right disciplines over time, you can do what Jesus asks you to do. So much of our Christian walk is about trying, not training. So when Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength," we try, but realistically, that's hard. It's like doing 100 push-ups. However, if I start praying 5 minutes a day for the first week, 10 minutes the second week, 20 minutes the third week. My bet is by the end of that third week, I'm going to love the Lord a lot more. Now, what makes Planet Fitness different than God's gym is that you're co-laboring with Christ and with the Holy Spirit. This whole idea of spiritual transformation scripturally is almost contradictory. Let's dive into that. Here's what I mean. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 to 24, it says, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness." We're instructed to put off the old nature and to put on our new nature. The Greek words have the connotation of taking off clothes and putting on new clothes, which sounds really easy. But if it were that easy, I would have done that a long time ago. I would have just taken off my grumpy pants and put on my Jesus attitude and called it a day. But we all know it's not that easy. The emphasis here, though, is that spiritual change and transformation is action-oriented. There's something that we're responsible to do. At the same time, spiritual transformation is described in John chapter 3, verse 8 as birth. Birth is not something that you can do. It's something that happens to you. In fact, no baby has ever been actively responsible to give birth to itself or to cause itself to happen. So which is it? Is there something that I can actively do to change, or is God responsible to change me? The answer is yes. Transformation happens when the action of man meets the action of God. You have to do work, but God does the heart work. By engaging in spiritual disciplines, what you do is you simply bring yourself to a place where God can change you. They themselves are not the conduit for deep spiritual change. God does that by the Spirit. These disciplines are where God coordinates a meeting place between heaven and earth. So as you fast, the Spirit changes you. As you sit in silence with God, God changes you. As you pray, the Spirit of God changes you. He sees your steps of faith and He honors them. As we look now at the disciplines that train us in godliness, I want to talk about what a healthy spiritual walk looks like. Yesterday, I said fasting isn't prayer and prayer isn't fasting. These two disciplines facilitate different encounters and types of transformation with the Spirit of God. Each discipline is designed to facilitate a different encounter. Each of these disciplines helps create a healthy Christian. Skipping disciplines is like skipping leg day. You end up developing lopsided spiritual muscles. So giving helps us facilitate the act of putting our trust in the Lord rather than our finances. Service helps us develop a heart of love for others as we give ourselves to the good of the other. Solitude helps us break away from the unhealthy patterns that our lives are lived in so that God can cut off their hold on us and give us power over them. Silence is like when someone stops stirring the water of a shore of a lake. Eventually, all the dirt settles. So if you're silent for long enough, your soul, like that dirt, will settle into God, and God will give you peace of heart and peace of mind. You get the picture, right? Each one is important. Prayer and worship are the most foundational, and you could actually argue that each one is a form of prayer and worship. Let me ask you this, though. What are you missing in your walk with Jesus? What discipline could help facilitate you acquiring that thing in greater measure? Most charismatic Christians would normally tend toward disciplines of engagement. We love activity, right? And that's what we're doing all week, intercession and prayer. We want to take more ground and get breakthroughs. We love phrases like, "God has more for you," "press through," "go after him." These are important encouragements, but when you don't counterbalance them with encouragements like "be still and rest," you can actually end up with lopsided and unhealthy faith. I heard John Ortberg say one time that his encouragement to the modern day church was actually to lean more toward disciplines of abstinence, especially at the beginning, rather than to lead toward disciplines of engagement. In other words, lean toward those disciplines that take things out of your life rather than disciplines where you're having to try to add things to your life. And his rationale was this, that our culture is already highly stimulated. we're already engaged so much, right? You've got screens and you've got television. You've got all these things that are causing you to engage. You've got kids' practices that you're taking them to. Your life is so full right now. And so he says, try moving toward Jesus by taking things away from your life at first, rather than just trying to add in disciplines. Because one of the greatest spiritual problems that our hearts face is overcrowding. And we see this in the parable of the sower. The seed tried to come in and take root, and it was crowded out by thorns, which Jesus said were the worries and the cares of life. And so you have this overcrowding issue. So to add another discipline or to add another thing on top of your already overstimulated heart might actually be counterproductive. Maybe your path to more of God is by way of less. Maybe you need to remove things from your life in order to gain spiritual ground. So here's where I'm going to try to go these next 3 days, and I would encourage you to try them with me. Along with prayer and worship and study that we're going to be doing at our revival night services, I'm also going to try to spend some extended time in solitude and silence in the morning. I'm going to retreat from relationships and responsibilities and eliminate the noise from my life in order to be still with the Lord. And you might come into this week thinking, I'm going to do more for Jesus in 2024, but have you actually considered that maybe the way to more is through less? Less noise, less activity, less obligations, less work. Here's your action step today. Today, write down a few disciplines from the list that I stated at the very beginning that you're interested in diving into. Take time to journal about why you want to start implementing those disciplines.